We can turn now to the portion of God's Word read. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and we can read again at verse 3. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and at verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. And if you remember, last Sabbath, we looked at this same text, and I want to continue with you looking at this text. On the last occasion, we considered Christ as the apple tree, and he being a suitable resting place for poor, scorched sinners like ourselves. And we know how Christ is the shadow, or how Christ casts a shadow under which sinners may come in order to find protection, particularly in hot countries, for example, where travellers would be on long journeys, they would appreciate a shadow being cast where they could rest a while and where they could be relieved from the scorching heat of the midday sun. And that's what's been spoken of here in this sitting down under the shadow. And that sitting down is the sitting down of saving faith. And that's where we considered on the last occasion a Christ to be the one that faith looks to for the rest that he provides. In other words, we saw Christ to be a suitable help for weary sinners in this world, a suitable and a sufficient help who provides a shelter from the heat, the scorching heat of the wrath of God upon us who are outside of Christ. You remember the writer to the Hebrews, the great apostle. He refers to God as being a consuming fire, and therefore exhorts us to have grace whereby we may serve him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So that's what we considered on the last occasion. And we also mentioned the fact that although all may come to take rest under the shadow provided by the Lord Jesus Christ, yet none will come under this shadow but those who are made sensible of their own sinfulness. Only those who are sensible sinners, or who have a sense of their sinnership, will ever feel the need of having the covering or the shade of Christ to cover them from the sun. So that those to whom this world has not become a weary place, and those who do not feel the heat of the day of God's wrath, will not value the shadow of this great rock. In the prophecy of Isaiah, we read of Christ being the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Now, the picture you're getting there is of the eastern sun belching down upon this land, and it has become so weary and so barren and so hot. And Christ is this great rock who casts this shadow in order that the inhabitants of that land may come and find the coolness and the shelter that that shadow affords to them. But how are we to take this heat of the sun? How are we to understand that in a spiritual sense? Well, the method God uses in bringing sinners into and under Christ's shadow is to make the heat of God's law to be felt by them in its holy commands, being felt not only outwardly, but inwardly, in the heart. Because the law of God goes further than the mere outwards. The law of God does not only deal with our outward actions, our outward deeds, but also with our thoughts, words, and deeds. They come to the realization. They come to the realization that however outwardly righteous they may be, and however outwardly respectable they may be, that God, with his all-seeing eye, goes beyond the outward life and the outward actions and into the very heart itself. That's what happened to Paul in Romans chapter 7. He knew the law of God. He knew it off by heart. And yet he says in Romans chapter 7, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. It's written when the commandment came, as if he had never seen it or heard it or read it before. But what it means is that the commandment came in such a way that it went beyond his outward actions to the very heart. You remember the Saviour in the Sermon on the Mount, how he said that if a man looketh on a woman to lust after her, he hath committed adultery with her, where? Already in his heart. And we tend to forget that fact. We tend to think that it only matters what we are outwardly. And it doesn't matter what we are inwardly, because other people cannot see what we are inwardly. But that's not the case at all, because it's not with other people that you and I have to do, but with God, who sees right into the very deepest recesses of our own hearts. So that although you would not literally and physically and outwardly commit sin, you've already committed it in your heart. We're prone to think that because we haven't actually and physically committed sin outwardly, that we haven't committed these sins at all. But God's law, as Paul says in that chapter, Romans 7, is holy and spiritual. In other words, it doesn't just deal with practice. It deals with thoughts. It's holy and spiritual, so that it deals with the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And it discovers to us that we are all as an unclean thing, and that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight, and that our iniquities would carry us away like the wind. And when you and I come to that discovery, then you become scorched with the heat of God's law, with the heat of the threatenings of the law of God. And you discover then that this is serious, that this is really serious, and that you cannot play with fire. You cannot play with fire. God is a consuming fire. And you come to discover that you need a shelter, that you need this great shelter that has been provided, this shadow. And Christ is the only shadow that will avail you, that will afford you the kind of rest that you and I need. Christ is the only shadow where you and I can get a lodging. Now, being what we are in ourselves, we'll try to make a shadow of anything, of anyone, other than going to the shadow provided for us. You remember the prodigal? The prodigal son who left his father's house. And you remember when he went into the far country and spent all that he had had. He said, I perish here in the far country with hunger. And he would have fain eaten the food and the scraps that the pigs were given before ever returning home to his father's house. He was trying to find a lodging place, a covering and a shelter and a shadow, anywhere else, before he would ever go back to his father's house. But by the Spirit of God, thankfully, he was kept from finding a safe haven anywhere, and a covering anywhere, and a shelter and a shadow anywhere else but in his father's house, under the roof of his father's house, where he was kept safe. And when the poor and the needy seek water for themselves, and there is none, and your tongue faileth for thirst, we read in the prophecy of Isaiah, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. And you notice here its rivers in high places, and fountains in valleys. You and I would expect that to be the other way around, wouldn't you? You would expect rather to find a fountain in high places and the river in the low places. But look how it is here. The rivers are on top of the mountains and the fountains are down in the valleys. Showing that although things can be so difficult, and although it is most unlikely that we should ever see the water of the Spirit of God, God is able to make rivers on top of the mountains and fountains to spring up in the very valleys. God the Holy Spirit is able to refresh the soul. And this is what is referred to in the parable of the great pearl, the pearl of great price. Never was such a discovery made as this. And it is parallel, the parable of the pearl of great price. And the discovery of that pearl is parallel to you and I making discovery of this shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You think of it. A poor traveller walking along for miles through the barren wilderness. His feet are burning sore and his lips are cracking with the heat. He's almost ready to faint with the heat. There's nothing more welcome to him than the discovery of a shadow where he can cool off for a while and where he can rest his weary soul. So it is with yourself here today in this world. Has this world become a weary place to yourself? Are you fainting for want of water? Are you about to come to the end of your tether because you're not finding the rest that is so necessary and yet provided for you so freely by the Lord Jesus Christ? You'll go on restless, looking for a refuge here and looking for a refuge there. A refuge that will provide no substantial cover from the heat of God's law upon you, condemning you with each commandment of that law. You'll find no rest until you find it under the shadow of this great rock who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And nextly here, he is discovered to us as an open shadow, open for sinners to go into it. And until the soul comes to believe that Christ's shadow is open to it, you and I will not go in. Any more than one can believe in Christ without a warrant to believe in Christ. Well, you have a warrant in the Scriptures to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in him and thou shalt be saved. Here is an open invitation. This shadow of a great rock in a weary land is available to all the inhabitants of that particular land. As Isaiah puts it, But this shadow, provided by Christ in his death, his obedience, and his suffering, this shadow is available and offered to all, not only the inhabitants of the land, but all the inhabitants of the world. God sent forth his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you come to take refuge under the shadow of Christ's wings? Under the shadow of Christ and his finished work. That is what it is to receive Christ and to believe on his name as we have it in the Gospel according to John chapter 1 and in verse 12. As many as believe on him, they are the sons of God, born not of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of the will of God. And to come to abide under this shadow. It's not as if they come and believe on Jesus Christ and then they go off and just walk willy-nilly. Our concluding psalm here is Psalm 91. He that doth in the secret place of the Most High reside, under the shade of the Almighty, and there they shall abide. They remain there. Where you sit down under the shadow of Christ, you sit down as one who is resolved to stay there. Everyone who comes to Jesus Christ by saving faith, they never want to leave him again. They never want to leave him. They stay there, come what will. Remember what Job said. Remember what Job said. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. So that this person who comes to trust in Christ, he keeps this shadow of Christ, his death, and his obedience always between him and God. Always between his own head and God. This is our only plea, my friend, before the Lord, by which you can be free from the law and the justice of God, by coming under the shadow of Christ. And if you or I, my friend, expect any good from heaven at all, you must look for it through this apple tree, who is also the tree of life. And anything that you might offer to God, it must also pass through him. Because there is no communication between heaven and earth apart from Christ. Therefore, I would exhort you to seek the Lord through his beloved Son and no other. For no man can come unto the Father but by him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he spreads and he casts that shadow before you in this place here today. And we are sent to invite you to come and to shelter under it yourself. It's available to us all. But the question is, have you become weary enough in this wilderness world? And have you felt the heat of the day of God's law condemning you? As Paul said, by the law is the knowledge of sin. But then also, and very briefly here, what are Christ's fruits? What are the fruits that he gives? Well, we read here that it is an apple tree. Now, an apple is both sweet and sour. It has a bitter, sweet taste to it, both at one and the same time. And that bitter sweetness is very satisfying when you draw the juice out of that apple. And what this is referring to is that there is in Jesus Christ a suitable fullness for your soul and for mine. There is absolutely nothing lacking in him in order to meet your needs, whatever your circumstances and mine may be. He is able to meet them. He is able to meet them. He affords not only a shadow to protect you, but also fruit to feed you. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, says Isaiah chapter 55. Now we must always be reminded of the fact that we cannot separate the person of Christ. We cannot have the Lord Jesus Christ as our shadow and not have him as a fruit. Many, it seems, nowadays are quite happy to say that Jesus Christ is their Saviour, or to have the benefits of Christ's saving work to defend them from the heat of God's wrath. But at the same time, they're still keen to feed on the things of this world. But you cannot here separate the shadow from the fruit, because when we come under the shadow, we feed on the fruit. When we are saved in Christ, we live by Christ, in Christ, and through Christ. There is no separating, in other words, the blood of Christ from the sanctifying fruit of the Spirit of Christ. When someone becomes justified by faith in Jesus Christ, that person also has the work of sanctification begun in them. You cannot separate these things. They are joined together in Scripture. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. And you cannot separate the person of Christ. If he saves you, he satisfies you. If he is the one under whom you are sheltering, if he is the shadow for yourself, He is also the one who satisfies your soul's need with his fruits. Paul tells us that Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Are you here today? You're weak? You're unwise? Well, he is your wisdom. You don't have wisdom. You have an earthly wisdom, but you don't have the wisdom that is needed to believe in Jesus Christ, because that wisdom comes from heaven, which he is able to provide. Are you righteous? No, you're not. Outside of Christ, you cannot be righteous. Well, he is your righteousness. You are unholy, as I am unholy. He is our holiness. These are all fruits. These are all fruits on this tree. And is there still many things that you and I need on our way to heaven? Well, he is our redemption. He is the one who will bring us to that complete redemption of body and soul at the end of time, and bring us to heaven itself. All that you need is there for you in him. Everything. He is the apple tree, and there's a cluster of food available, fruit available on this tree to be had by all who will take him as their shadow. A cluster of fruit to satisfy your thirst, your longing, your hunger. Oh, my friend, you have many needs in this world. And you, like the prodigal, may be looking everywhere and thinking like the prodigal that the grass is greener on the other side. But boy, did he find out that it was not as good as he thought. And he came running home. Will you not come and take refuge in Jesus Christ? Come under this shelter once and for all. This shadow of this great rock in the weary land of this world. And be filled to satisfaction with all that he has to freely bestow upon you. Will you not come? Will you not come? I plead with you, and I beseech you to come and to enjoy the blessings that are purchased in Jesus Christ and his finished work. Blessings that will last forever. Or is this world still attracting you? Or are you still feeling as a traveller that you can go a long way yet without any shelter? Well, I don't know how long you have. You don't even know how long you have. And therefore, it behoves us all not to waste any time availing ourselves of Christ as the shadow that will protect us from the day of God's wrath. Amen. May he bless his word. Let us pray. O blessed one, bring us